shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
I think it speaks volumes for our district. I mean,
well, like they say, you know, you get what you pay for.
Solid rocket boosters blew away from
Wow,
the-
girl. Come on, girl. Oh.
Just from a basket.
Now, isn't that lovely?
I'm going to back Obama.
Yabu, I said.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. We go places other talk shows, other Trump change can't go. Every night here. Coming up this hour, we have with us Jack Armstrong, who's going to be talking with us about two now. We have two cases now in the last couple of days having to do with people who live in one district sending their kids to school in another district because the education, the quality of the school, teachers, etc., is much better. You heard of the lady in Ohio who has been put in jail for 10 days. There is another case in Georgia. Is it happening all over the country, and what does it mean? Talking to Jack Armstrong in a minute about that. Bob Green is going to join us in the next hour on Arizona's birthright citizenship legislation. In other words, there are legislators in Arizona targeting the idea that being born in the United States, even of illegal immigrant parents, makes you a citizen. Charlie Sheen is also out of the hospital and heads to rehab. And as a lot of people were tweeting today, Charlie may not be up to date on what's going on in Egypt. So please, I'm kidding. Anyway, an Atlanta Police Department unit is being investigated for publicly conducting a body cavity search during a traffic stop. And as I mentioned, Arizona's citizenship law, Jack Armstrong and Bob Green, and our number 877-876-7445. Our affiliate spotlight tonight on the great, great affiliate in San Francisco, KNEW 910 AM. God bless them. And in Grand Forks, North Dakota, KNOX 1310 AM, another great affiliate along the Phil Hendry Radio Show Network. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And Jack Armstrong going to be joining us here in just a moment. Parents could be prosecuted for lying about addresses for schools. This is, I mentioned to you guys last night very briefly, if you weren't with me, I did mention to my audience at the time that I'd been involved in a little bit of a little bit of static, if you will, concerning this kind of thing. It had to do with me selling my house not too long ago, and the people who bought it, assuming their kids were going to go to school in one district, and there was a real hassle, and it almost sunk the sale of my home. But I was able to find out that, in point of fact, their kids were going to qualify for a better district. I guess, Jack, because I lived in a better place.
I was going to say, because you've got a better address than a lot of people, Phil.
But your problem with this, we're going to get into this. I want to hear some audio. Okay, Jack, this is of a couple of people here. One of them is a county school board chairperson. Her name is Kathy Williams. This is in Muskogee, Georgia. And she tells WRBL television the parents send the wrong message to their kids by lying to get them into a better school. So let's listen to Miss Williams here.
I think it speaks volumes for our district. I mean, I think our district's one of the best, and I understand people clamoring to get in, but there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. And what I want to stop is the wrong way. I don't think it's good parenting skills to raise your children in an environment where they're learning how to usurp the system or cheat or lie or steal.
Now, Ms. Williams also says if you want to send the kids to their schools, you live out of district, pay up.
Those seats in our classrooms are very precious, and they really need to be held for those people who legally are entitled to them and pay through their taxes for them. The nice thing is that if they don't want to live in Muskogee County, they still can send their children here. They just have to pay tuition. You know, in some form or fashion, they have to pay for the service that they're getting to educate their child.
So, and this was in Georgia, Jack, and the other one was an Ohio case. And the lady in Ohio, I've got her name right here. What was the name of the lady in Ohio? Kelly Balder, I think?
I believe that was right, Phil, in the case that you're talking in Muskogee, Georgia, right now, I think is... I don't know the name of this woman, but there's a father who was using a wrong address and
Kelly Williams Bolar.
Right, but I don't know the name of this Georgia woman, unfortunately, because it's just not evident, you know.
What is the name of the Georgia woman? God almighty, I get so sick and tired of these news stories that are written poorly. They didn't name the Georgia woman. So there you go.
I don't think it's a good thing, Phil. I think it is a bad thing. And I think it has the earmarks of racism. I think there's classism. I think there is elitism involved here. When you say, I don't want my child to go to this school, I want my child to go to that school.
Now, why do you say racism and elitism? These are people who can't afford to send their kids to these schools, so they're lying.
Yes, they're lying. They're lying to get their child out of a district and put their child into a different district.
What about the idea that it's to get the child into a better school?
Well, of course, there is an idea to get the child into a better school, but if you want to get your child into a better school, why don't you use your resources, your money, or your lack thereof, and make your school a better school? You see, why do you have to move your child into a other district because the one that you're in is not good enough? The one that you're in has too many people of color, perhaps. Maybe there's too many poor people, or maybe there's too many, a lot of things. I'm a long-time liberal, you know, and I will tell you, Phil, I come from a very depressed area in Krakow, Poland, where I was born, to come to the United States and live in this country. I know how bad it can be, and it can be really bad. And I think when you take your child from one district and put your child into another district dishonestly, you are circumventing the law. You are lying. You are breaking the law. Then I have no problem putting someone like that in jail.
So you would be you're in favor of this woman seeing jail time?
Absolutely. You have to stay in the district that you're in, and you have to support that district as much as you can, because I think that's part of parenting, and give your children a good example of what you should do for a school district. And to the extent that you can help that school district, of course you're going to do this. To the extent that you cannot help that school district, get the help of other parents. Any parent that lies deserves a jail cell. And
even in the case of a mother or a father, and again, I just want to keep repeating this, deserving a jail cell, yes, but even in the case of them trying to get their kid into a better school district so their children have a better chance at a better education.
But it's not always about a better chance of better education. They think it's about a better education, but most of the time it's about, I don't want my kids in this environment. I don't want my children in with children who are not of the same class, you know, of this children who are a different race, children who are poor, children who... There is a lot of prejudice of poor people. And so some of these mothers who wish they were better than they are, some of these fathers who wish they were better than they are, they lie. And they lie to the school district, and they lie to their own children, and say, I don't live here, I live there, and I can put my children in a school district where there is more white, or there's more money, or there's better band, or there's better football than this. I think it's a very, very terrible example to set for anyone. It's disgusting. It is racist. It sends the wrong message to the children. And not to mention the fact that to the extent that the influence of a parent like this would be good for a school, that parent is gone. They can't help. They send them somewhere else.
Well, we've had two instances now of parents who are sending their kids, and they're lying. They're saying, basically, I live in your district.
That is correct, right. This is the illegality of it, to say that I live in that district, therefore I can send my children, and they're, of course, saying that that is their address. What they're using is their father address or mother address or something.
All right, our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. There may be some, maybe more than just one parent out there dealing with something like this right now. Where do your kids go to school?
My kids right now, they go to a school district in northeast Minneapolis. But that's different for me because we're using my father-in-law's address. I have to send them, and I don't want to be specific. I'm sure you understand I cannot be so specific, but I have to send them to outside of the district. I cannot be specific, you know, for that.
Are you? Where are your kids going to school right now?
I would tell you it's important for you to know where my kids are going to school. Unfortunately, I can't tell you.
And why? Why can't you tell me where your kids are going to school?
Unfortunately, I can't tell you because, and this is a very difficult thing because I know, I believe very firmly, Phil, I believe very firmly that parents should go to jail if they lie about the address, if they send their children to a different district because they don't like poor, they don't like black. I feel this. I have to tell you, though, at this time, I must, and I know I feel deep in my heart, that perhaps what I'm doing is wrong, but I feel at this time I must send my children to a different district. And that's why we've begun the process of my wife's father, who lives in a section of the Twin Cities, and we can send the children to a better school. But this is different, I think, from what the...
I want to explore this with you. We've just gotten done talking about how disgusting and racist and how it sends the wrong message, but you're saying that you are living right now in a depressed area of the Twin Cities, and you are going to be sending your kids to another school when?
We're going to send next scholastic year. Let me tell you how it's different.
I want to know, how does this, if you're saying to me, and Jack, I know you to be a longtime liberal blogger, you support public school.
Absolutely.
And you support the poor school districts. You feel they need this kind of help. They need good parents. They need good teachers. And I think it starts with the parents, you know.
I agree 100%.
Then why are you sending your kids to another school? And you're going to be, you're basically saying you're going to be engaged in the same kind of subterfuge.
Let me tell you why.
Did I hear you correctly? You're going to be using your wife's father's address.
That is correct. Let me tell you why. Conservatives, a lot of these conservatives want to jump on it and say you're a liar, you're a hypocrite, you know. Okay. I can have more credibility with the conservatives if I say that my children are going to a good school, because then my children get the same education as a conservative. And then I can say, my children got the same education as a conservative child, and my children are going to be teachers, my children are going to help the poor. They can't get that kind of education in a poor district. And they can't get a good education so they can become people that help the poor, you know. But if they go to a good district, which is where I want them to go, they can get the education they need to help the poor people. The conservative sends his child to a good district, but not to teach that child to help the people, but to teach the child to make, be a big shot, you know, NBA big shot. But the liberal who was going to send the child to a school...
You know, you're engaging in an awful lot of broad brushing of liberals, conservatives.
No, I understand that, but for the most part... You see.
But you haven't really answered my question. You are opposed to parents who are moving, are falsely claiming addresses so they can move their kids to a better school district. You consider it racist. You consider it...
And it is racist. For 99% of these people, it's racist, it's elitist, it's selfish, and it's illegal. In my case of my wife and I, this is a different thing. We want our children, and I know... you know, believe me, Phil, it is different with us. I want my children a good education so they can become, to help people, you see. So it's difficult for me to explain.
Well, how do you know? It wouldn't be difficult for me to understand if you could tell me, how do you know other people wouldn't want to send their kids to a good school district for the same reason?
No, while it is possible, most of these people are lying. Because they want to get their children a good education for free, and it has nothing to do with helping society. They're just lying. And I wish I could explain this better to you, but that's exactly what's going on right now.
Okay, Jack, I want to take a break. Jack Armstrong joining us here. We're talking about parents who lie about where they live so they can get their kids into a better school district. Jack, you're opposed to that, although you have admitted on our air you're going to be doing that next year. But in your case, It's only to get your kids an education so they can become social workers. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Also next hour, Bob Green takes on birthright citizenship. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. With me is Jack Armstrong. He is a liberal blogger out of the Twin Cities in Minnesota. We're talking about two people now in the news, and perhaps more people across this country, who have been arrested for claiming false addresses. In essence, claiming an address so they can send their children into that school district, which is patently illegal. Am I getting that right, Jack?
Oh, that is absolutely right. You cannot claim residence in a district that you do not live in because you're not paying taxes in that district. People are doing that so they can send their children to the school. And they're doing it illegally. They're doing it by lying. And they're taking their children from a substandard school into what they consider to be a better school, but they're doing it by lying, you see.
All right. So you have to lie, like this lady did. She lied, and she claimed her father's address, I think. And this lady here in Georgia, one other family's doing the same thing. You're going to do the same thing next year. You're going to claim your father's address. Isn't that correct?
But one other thing I want to say. They're taking a spot away from a child who lives in that district. That's very important to say. They're taking a spot away from a child that lives in that district.
All right. Are you not going to do the same thing yourself next year when your children in a new school year?
We are, and I brought that up as a courtesy. The reason why I brought that up, Phil, is as a courtesy to you. So you would know that I'm doing this because my children need to have this higher education level because of the things we expect for them to be teachers, you see.
And why? But you're going to be doing it illegally as well.
When you say illegally, what do you mean?
You're going to be using the address of your father-in-law.
I'm going to be using the address of my father-in-law, yes. I'm going to, yes, because that's how much I love my children. That's how much I love my children.
So isn't that the same as what these other people are doing?
I don't believe it is, and I'll tell you why. The other people are doing this because they're racist, because they're elitist, because they don't want to live in the same neighborhood or go to the same school with a black-skinned person or poor people. My children go to school in a district with crackheads and with... I don't even want to say. And we want to get them out so that their education enables them to come back to the neighborhood and to help the people.
All right, our number is 877-876-7445. Here is a phone call in Miami. It's Robert. Go ahead, Robert. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I can't believe my ears. I cannot believe that this gentleman is here on the radio talking bad about people who are doing things, and then he's going to go out and do exactly the same thing by using his father-in-law's address to put his children out there. It's hypocritical.
It's the same thing. I don't think it's the same thing, sir.
It is exactly the same thing what you're doing. And you know what? You're a hypocrite. And
no, sir.
Let me tell you
no,
something.
Sir.
You're doing exactly the same thing because you know why? You want a better education for your family, for your kids, just the same way that I want a better education for my family, my kids. And I would exactly do the same thing if I was in a worse neighborhood and I could give my kids a better education. There's nothing illegal with that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's natural parenting. And you're sitting here on the radio talking about people doing something, and then you go out and do the exact same thing. Practice what you preach, brother.
No, but you see, it is illegal to claim a separate address that is not yours, and so that's illegal. You have to understand it's different from my...
I agree, and if it's illegal and you're doing it, then you should go and put your kids in the school district that they belong in and not teach them to be racist. Or why not? That's the most ridiculous thing.
But you have to understand, sir, I have valid reasons for doing what I'm doing. I have valid reasons. 99% of these other people don't do it for the wrong reason. I have valid reasons for doing this.
Everybody has the same valid reason wanting the number one education for the kids. That's why immigrants migrate to this country, to give their kids and to give their families
to
get ahead in life.
They don't want school with the black kids. You know, that's their reason, which I think is racist.
If I'm going to put my kids in a school that doesn't have money for books and doesn't have money for supplies for teachers and whatnot, I'm going to try to go and put my kid in an A school. Why? Because
I need to put my kid in a school. We've got way too many crackheads in this school my kids are in.
All right, we'll be back with Jack Armstrong, 877-876-7445. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Too many crackheads.
Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up next hour, we have Robert Greene on the Arizona immigration law. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. We'll get to some more phone calls here in a moment. With me is Jack Armstrong, a longtime liberal blogger and guest on our show. When we talk about parents around the country claiming they live in a district that they don't live in order to send their children to a better school, Jack, you have interpreted that as a sort of elitist and racist move by those parents. Now, I know that you believe in public education. I do, too.
Yes, but not only do... But hold on, Phil. Not only do I believe in public education, I believe that... I believe in the poor district need help. Poor district need help. It's not just to send your child to a rich district. If you are in an African-American district, you want to get out because you're elitist and racist, you need to stay there. Yep.
But okay, and you need to help me with this, because you've heard people taking exception to the fact that you are going to do the very thing. You're going to claim residence in a district illegally by naming your father-in-law's residence. You're going to send your children away from a district that you say has too many crackheads in it. And
my children right now are going to school with tweakers, these rockheads. My children.
But you got to help me with this. Why is this different? Because what you want to do with your kids is exactly the same thing that other people are doing that you say is racist and elitist.
All right. Let me explain it the best way I can. My children are going to be teachers, and they're going to be people who are leaving. Once they get this education, they will leave and go back to these depressed areas as teachers, social workers, psychologists. In other words, they are going to give back. The ones that are lying, this woman, she lied and said that she lives there. She doesn't live there. This other woman, she lied. They're not going to live there. They are going to put their children, and why? It's very, very likely that their children want to grow up to become movie stars or some stupid... You see what I mean? And this is the American pursuit, and this is why when I come on your program, I want to tell you this, the difference. My children are children of immigrants themselves. And so my children know, Mommy and Daddy, they'll want me to help poor people and not be some tweaking movie star and a pain in the you-know-what to everyone around them.
You're still going to be doing the exact same thing that you claim other people shouldn't do.
But you did... Were you listening to me? I
was listening to you, but I don't see the difference. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Preston in Detroit, sir, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I am a teacher.
Yes, sir.
And obviously the gentleman is not quite getting the point. Okay, breaking the law is breaking the law. If you're speeding because you want to go to a party, you're breaking the law. If you're speeding because you want to get home and give your wife a gift, you're still breaking the law. So I don't think it's justifiable what he's saying. I don't understand that. What I think he should do is make the school work for him. Public schools are one of the only entities where you do have lots of control. Any parent can almost demand to see the principal, and the principal can help them at whatever area they're concerned with. His kid could get an honors program where he's not with kids who he feels is not as motivated as his kid is. So to me, there are lots of things he can do within the public school make that school better.
I agree. I think that for 99% of the parents, that's a good idea. For my kid, though, I can't do it, you know.
Why can't you do it?
Because of the schools that they're in these areas, crackheads, you know, and...
Let me tell you something, sir. Yes, sir.
Go ahead, sir.
Preston, are you there?
Yes.
All right, we're losing your cell phone there, Preston. 877-876-PHIL. Maybe you can answer. You know, he was obviously going to take exception to what you're saying.
Yes, he was taking exception to what I was saying. I've got. Let me explain. He's talking about, I agree with everything that man said. I agree that parents need to stay in the district and help their school, make their school work for them if they are in a district, a bad district, stay. It's illegal. I'm an educated man. I work in the media with blogging and different publications. My children need to be in a much better district. I cannot afford to pay tuition for them, but because of what I do, I present the kind of person it looks like I should be able to. You see what I mean?
No, I don't see what you mean. What do you mean it looks like you...
It means because of I'm on the radio right now with you and I do some television shots, it looks like I should be able to afford to put my children in a better school. If someone comes to this school that my children go to this time, it is a toilet with these tweakers, rockheads and crackheads, and they see my child, they'll say that Jack Armstrong, who I just saw on television... He's got his kid in this toilet. Now, something ain't right, you know.
But what does that mean? I don't understand what that means. That you're speaking more for yourself.
No, I'm not.
It sounds to me like you're speaking more for yourself than you are for the kids.
No. I want my children to have a better education because for them to be in that school, someone says Jack Armstrong's kid is in that school. What are they doing going to school with a tweaker? It's no good, you know.
No, I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Ann. Ann is in Rockford, Illinois. Go ahead, Ann. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I can't believe you're making these accusations as if your children is more important than the next child who needs an education. How dare you?
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, yes, you did. That's exactly what you said. You said she lied, but what you're doing is legal, and you're not lying. She's seeking a better education for her children, the same thing that you want, but because your kids are going back into the school system to be a positive role model, a teacher, a psychologist, or a doctor, then you have the right to do the very thing that she's doing. That's hypocritical and double standard.
No, but it's not a double standard if my children are going to go back into the school system to contribute positive, and her children are going to go on American Idol or be some... slob, you know?
Okay, you know what? That's just that you're how can I say it? You're lying to yourself is what you're doing.
No.
If you believe that, then you're lying to yourself.
That's a good way of putting it, Ann. I think what she's saying.
No, it's not a good way of putting that, Ann. Excuse me, ma'am, I don't mean you, but Mr. Hendry, for you to this obsequious pandering to your audience.
It's not I'm not pandering. I think she made a very good statement when she said that you're possibly lying to yourself. If your kids are going to go back to the school system to learn a good education and then eventually become social workers, good. Why do you assume that other parents can't do the same thing?
I'll tell you why. I read the story of this lady and the other lady. I didn't see anything in there that told me that those people are the kind of people that are going to do the big stuff, you know?
Well, here's the thing. Can I say something? If you feel that going into the movie industry, which is a level of performing arts, is ignorant, maybe you shouldn't allow your children to watch TV. Think about it.
Well, I don't allow them too much.
TV to them.
Yes. I don't allow them too much TV. I will
don't
only
do
say
that.
My children... are the children of Jack Armstrong.
Your children are no special than the next child that comes in front of you. Your children are no different.
I think you would be right if we were not talking about the fact that I do some television, and so that when people see my children in a school that should have been condemned 10 years ago, they say that Jack Armstrong is a bum. You see?
No, I don't see. Here's the thing. Our school systems, to be honest with you, are not equal across the board. We all know that. You don't get the same level of education at every school. We all know that. But for you to say you can justify your behavior and call someone else a liar is being hypocritical. That is a fact.
See, why are you not lying, Jack?
I'll tell you what. This woman in Ohio, this woman in Georgia, they're liar. And you know why? Because they don't live where they say that they do.
And neither do you. And for you to say that you can justify it, you're lying to yourself.
That's my father-in-law. He lives there.
You don't live there. Your father-in-law is not your father. That is your in-law, your wife's father. So it has nothing to do with you.
Don't you understand the way these people lie?
What do you mean, these people, man?
No, they are lying. They lie. You know why? Because I'm on television.
When you're on television, Jack, okay, I understand. And then the people see your kid going to school at some place that you call Tweaker's Paradise. Great. So what does that mean?
Then they look at me like I'm some kind of bum who is doing stuff for free. You see? Why can't this lady understand?
You're not talking about your kids, though, man. You're talking about you. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This gentleman, Preston, is back with us because he had a very difficult time. Preston, sorry, your car phone started to go out. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, but my main point is that the gentleman seems to be a nice person, but wrong is wrong. Everybody tries to justify by their exceptions to the rule, and that's not acceptable. Okay, but my main emphasis is that he should be more concerned with trying to get his child a good education. Don't tell me because there are crackheads, his child cannot get a good education. I went to a school with crackheads. I have a very good education. It's the teachers in the classroom he needs to be concerned about. He can talk. He can make sure that his kid gets teacher. That's the best teacher. He can talk to the principal. So though there are things he can do. Kids graduate every day. Yeah?
Well, I totally agree. I totally agree. But some of these teachers in the district, yes, sir?
You totally agree, but you're an exception to the rule still.
Right. And what did you say about the teachers?
Some of the teachers are tweakers.
So some of the teachers are drug users.
That is correct, yes.
Then I would go to the principal. You know, I don't know.
Make sure that your child gets the best teacher. Make sure that your child gets the right classes. If your child is in an AP class, if he's in AP classes, then they should be getting a good education.
I hope and I pray that you're right, but I don't know. And I hope and pray every night. And I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. I'm an atheist, Phil. I don't believe in God, but I hope and pray every night that my children can go into a classroom where there is an individual there that is not, you know, tweaking.
All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking to Jack Armstrong, who is a liberal blogger and pundit, and we're talking about parents who are claiming other addresses. They're claiming addresses in districts where they want to send their children to school. They don't live in that district. It is illegal to claim an address in that district, but they're doing that, and in the process, their kids are getting an education while those taxes are not being paid. Jack says that it's elitist and it's racist, and yet he himself is going to do it next year because he says his kids go to school in a district where the teachers and students are all tweakers. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Welcome back here on the World. world famous Phil Henry Show. Jack Armstrong with us. Our final segment. We have Robert Greene to talk about citizenship, the new citizenship law in Arizona. It's a heavy law, and we're talking here about school districts and why some parents are lying about where they live so they can send their kids to a better school district, which you're completely against, Jack. Except that's exactly what you're going to do.
No.
That's exactly what you're going to do next year.
No, it is not exactly what I'm going to do. I said to you that this is different, and if you'll let me finish what I'm going to say. And
well, we got to hurry up. I've got callers waiting.
You have to hurry up. You have callers waiting. Okay, I'm going to hurry up because you have callers waiting. You know, I want to say what I want to say.
Go ahead and say it.
I am a liberal. I support public education. I always have supported public education. And I have always decried people who send their children to a different district because they don't want their children going to school with the poor, with the black, with the Hispanic, and so forth. I was one of those children, immigrant children. They didn't want their children to go to school with me because I was Polish, because I had scabs on my head and on my arms from where we live. I remember this. Now my children go to school where? In exactly the same kind of situation that I went to school in. They come home, lice, and you don't even want to know. Now I want to, for the first time in their lives, put them in a good school. I want to take my wife to Las Vegas and not comp a buffet at Caesars. I'm sorry.
Well, this is a life frustration you have.
No, it is not. It's a good education for my children, so they're not going to school with a lot of these skinheads, you know.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a call here from Sonia in Phoenix, listening on KBSZ. Sonia, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Jack.
Hi.
Eastern Europe. I understand
yep.
what you say. They're getting to the point where you're trying to say that you being in the public eye, you want to create a good uh-huh. reputation with your children
right.
going to a better school. But
right.
intent is good, but your act is unlawful. And I think by doing what you're doing is you're creating the opposite effect.
So one but at least you don't think I'm a hypocrite. You don't think I'm a hypocrite, at least.
I didn't call you that, but I'm just saying I think now saying what you just said, it makes you look bad, even though you're trying to achieve a good reputation. So
what do you mean? What did I just say? What do you mean of what I just said?
It doesn't matter what you said. It's what you do.
You said of what I just said, it makes me look bad.
Well, for one thing, you were talking about wanting to take your wife to Vegas.
I said that.
You were saying
yeah.
how other parents are doing what they're doing is wrong and you have an excuse, but how do you know what their intent is? How do you know that they're liars? How do you know what someone said? At all.
You can look at this one lady. I saw her on the TV. She looks like a liar from way back, you know. I tell you why. I grew up with this kind of people, and they look at the camera, and they've got brand new butterfly sunglasses, you know, but they lie, you know.
But how do you know they're lying, and why can't they have the same intent as you?
I think that lady just asked me the same question, so I don't need it again from you, you know.
And I'm asking it again.
Because I don't want my children going to school and coming home with crabs, okay?
But
I didn't want to have to say
else.
That.
That's the same excuse anybody
right.
else would use. And like I said, the intent is good. Of course, everybody wants the best for their kids. But the act itself is unlawful.
Has it ever happened to you? Have you ever had to come home with that? I don't think
Sorry?
So. Have you ever had to come home from your school as a child with crabs?
Don't ask people that question.
I wish I didn't have to.
All right, Sonia, thank you. I'm going to move on to another call. You're very kind. 877-876-7445. Alyssa in Chattanooga. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I just think that it's really interesting, Jack, that you feel that these people are being racist and elitist. But
yes.
you are claiming
yes.
that these, quote, these people, unquote, are their children are nothing better than sluts and, you know, wannabe movie stars. I just find that really interesting.
Wait. When did I say that?
You said that. You said American Idol.
I said that my children want to go to school to help this old school district go back and help these crackheads and tweakers, you know? But other people's children, yes?
By reasoning, sir, then you, as a member of the media and the public eye and an educated man, should stay in that school district and help to educate those people and have your children help to educate their classmates.
But the problem is, people will come to the school to see my children, and they'll say, look at Jack Armstrong. This guy is a bum.
That sounds like that's a personal issue for you to deal with. What you're saying is that these people, quote-unquote, I don't know who you're referring to, are being racist.
The lady in the news, she sends her children to this other district because she doesn't want their children hanging out with, you know, dark people.
Good Lord.
This lady looked like a liar from way back. What does a liar look like, precisely?
I think you know what I mean.
What does that look like?
Because I don't look at people and assume that they're liars based on what they look like.
I'm not going to have you call me a racist. I'm not going to have that.
Oh, so I guess we can figure out what that means then.
Okay. Well,
what does it mean? I don't know.
You don't want anybody calling you a racist. Is a liar someone with dark skin, a black person?
No. Not necessarily. But they're on welfare. How do I know? The butterfly glasses I told you about.
Phil Hendry.
I want anyone listen to me.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You had kids that were having to go to the bathroom.
Solid rocket boosters blew away from
like they say, you know, you get what you pay for.
I think it speaks volumes for our district. I mean,
I've been vegetarian for 7 years, going on 8.
There are people here. They're trapped in the house, lady.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that, well, we know what we're talking about. I mean, we know where it's at. We know what it M is. And truth is our bitch. We go places other talk shows wish they could. They can't. They won't. And so they pretend like, those other places that we go don't even exist. Yeah, that's the latest game, man. Anyway, a proposal in Arizona targets birthright citizenship. And joining us this hour to discuss it will be Robert Green, who's the CEO of Fraser Foods. Will be on the line with us in just a few minutes. Plus, still to come tonight, we'll mock some of the crappy American Idol singers. Some of them are, you know, obviously they're very, very good, a lot of the kids, but some of them suck. And should not be singing and should be helping out at their father's hardware store or whatever it is that they really should be doing. I mean, there's some things that you can do in this world that have nothing to do with entertainment, singing, dancing, that the world could really use your help on. So get your little audition over with at American Idol and get back to the farm. Seriously. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Robert Green joining us from Buena Park, California. And Bob has been on the show before. I think we've ever talked about immigration, have we, Bob?
Well, I think the subject of immigration, Phil, comes up no matter what the topic, because these days in business, everything is tied together. But I'm sure at some point we have gone down that road.
Well, it's good to have you with us.
It's always great to be with you, Phil.
All right. The story here is, for folks in Arizona, they're very familiar with this. Across the country, Arizona Republicans have introduced legislation on Thursday seeking to challenge the right to U.S. citizenship for children born in the state whose parents are illegal immigrants or other non-citizens. Understand that they want to challenge the birthright citizenship that this country has always held. They're basically saying that the 14th Amendment does not cover people who are illegally in this country. It doesn't cover the children of people who are illegally in this country. And so therefore, the Arizona law is essentially saying that people that are in Arizona as children of illegal immigrants are themselves illegal. And it's an interesting law. Bob, where do you stand on that?
So I, I, I do support the efforts in the state of Arizona. I support it 100%. I think that the country is drowning in illegal immigrants, and we can no longer afford to absorb the social costs, whether they are monetary or whether they have to do with criminality or whatever else is involved. We can no longer afford to cover this this issue with the services that we have. I'm a businessman. I own some 27 grocery stores, supermarkets throughout the Southeast and the Southwest. We have two stores, one in San Diego and the other is in El Paso, and I mention those towns because obviously they're border cities. And we are selling in those markets guides that were originally part of a deal we had with one of our distributors. And this is a guide for those who are in the country illegally to find out how they can negotiate services, how they can get social services, how they can obtain the things that they need.
You're selling that in your store?
We're selling it right now in our store, yeah. So while we are 100% behind this law that will deny citizenship to illegal immigrants, and you're not going to find a stronger supporter of deporting illegal immigrants than me, Phil, but now is not quite the time to act against them. And I think we have to measure our words as well as our deeds. An awful lot has to be thought of. There are an awful lot of things that need to be worked out before we turn around and we say, let's challenge the Constitution of the United States of America. You understand that the Arizona law seeks to challenge the constitutionality, not the constitutionality, the Arizona law seeks to challenge the interpretation.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The interpretation of the 14th Amendment has always been that all citizens born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens. And what the Arizona law is essentially saying is that right there, that phrase, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, that is that means that illegal immigrant children are not allowed here.
That is my interpretation as well, and I stand behind that 100%. I have looked at the law, I've looked at the Constitution, I looked at the 14th Amendment, and I have, for the, you know, whatever a man who has owned grocery stores for the last 25 years, whatever kind of legal interpretation he can bring to that, I have, and I agree with that. But I say to you, Phil, and I say to those in the state of Arizona right now and across the country who want to challenge the right of a human being who is born here to be a citizen, I say now is not the time.
All right, you mentioned that you have you sell in the newsstands of two of your markets guides for illegal immigrants to negotiate or navigate services here in the United States. Tell me about that.
It's a guide, and again, there is no one who is a stronger advocate of keeping illegal immigrants out of this country and making sure that their children do not become citizens. I want to make that clear. But this is a guide that has been selling fairly well, and it is one that illegal immigrants can buy, and it can tell them how to obtain social services, how to go about navigating the intricacies of American society and culture and legality as an illegal. It sells very well. In fact, it has sold quite a few that we have. We've ordered another, I guess we're ordered up probably another 1,000 of these. And I don't want to cut my nose off despite my face. You see, what we're doing in those two stores is we get a lot of business from people who are apparently illegal immigrants or at least are friends of them. And to that extent, that's why I don't think we should move ahead with this law right now. You know.
All right, you don't want to move ahead with this law right now because of this guide to illegal immigrants.
Well, it's part of an overall business that we do with the illegal immigrant community. I did not invite them here. I would like them to go home. I am not a fan of illegal people being in this country. I don't want their children made citizens, but they shop in my stores. They shop in my stores, and they put money into the cash registers that we have. So when you get the booklet that we sell, it's a guidebook, Phil, and it teaches them on how to get health care, how to obtain a Social Security card, how to stay out of trouble. It is one that would sell. It would not sell anywhere else.
But because you're selling this guide for illegal, what is it called?
I'm sorry?
What is this book called?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know what it's called. I just know that we do a lot of business with in the illegal community. I wish that we didn't, but we do, and I wish that we didn't make the money that we do from illegals, but we do. And so I have to see how far I can go with that before I throw all of my support behind the Arizona law.
Well, when would you like to see the Arizona law? This is a proposed Arizona law targeting illegal immigrants that their children not be made citizens once they're born here. You support it, but not right now. When do you think that the support for this law would be most beneficial?
Well, I think that obviously we want to take a look and see how much of how much money we're making from the illegal immigrant community, how much money we're making on Welcome to America, Your Guide to Freedom.
Now, what is that? Is that the book?
That's the guidebook that we sell, yeah. How much money we make on in that area, and when it begins to tail out.
And so once you're done making money on the... And what would you say to people who are right now want to get moving with this law? They are not interested in whatever it is that some business people want. They want this law enacted. They want to challenge the interpretation of the Constitution, and they want it done right away.
Well, I would say that they're going to be dealing with an awful lot of angry business people. I mean, I represent a lot of people. We do a lot of business with illegal immigrants. I agree with them. I don't want them here, and I do support Arizona targeting birthright citizenship. But the way that this Welcome to America, Your Guide to Freedom is selling, and other aspects of business we do with the immigrant community, at this time, it does not make sense. It would be a form of economic suicide for me to, not economic suicide, but it would be a form of economic stupidity for me to jump in with both feet on the side of a lot of Arizona Minutemen types and support them with this birthright law as we're making this kind of money. So I agree with it. I support it. I say wait a couple of years.
2 years?
I think so, yeah.
877-876-PHIL. Robert Greene with us. It's always good to have you with us, Bob.
Good to be with you, Phil.
And we're talking here about the proposed Arizona law that targets birthright citizenship, meaning immigrants who have children here. Arizona would not recognize those children as citizens of the United States because they say that the 14th Amendment does not cover them. Robert Greene is a businessman who represents others. He says he supports the Arizona effort, but not right now, because he's doing a lot of business with illegal immigrants, including this book that's selling, Welcome to America, Your Guide to Freedom, a guide for illegal immigrants. So what about business people who are making money from the illegal immigrant community, but they don't want illegal immigrants? That's the stand that Mr. Greene is representing right here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be back as we continue talking about Arizona's law targeting birthright citizenship on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene from Fraser Foods. Mr. Greene is a businessman in the Southwest. His grocery store chain is located in Buena Park, California. We're talking about a couple of stores in San Diego and El Paso that I want to get to some more conversation on, Bob. But the proposed Arizona law, if you guys haven't heard, simply states that the 14th Amendment does not cover the illegal immigrant child. It does not cover any child born to an illegal immigrant. They do not believe the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution, which was adopted after the U.S. Civil War to ensure citizenship for former African-American slaves, would obviously continue to cover the descendants of former African-American slaves because they were not here illegally, to put it simply. However, it does not cover illegal immigrant children. Bob, you are a supporter of this, and yet you are selling this manual, which I think is called Welcome to America.
Yeah, it is. It's called Welcome to America, Your Guide to Freedom. This is a guide that we sell in the store, Phil. We sell a lot of different magazines, a lot of different books. We happen to sell this one in our San Diego and our El Paso stores. We have two San Diego stores, by the way. And we happen to sell this one because there is a market for it. We have a number of Mexican illegal immigrant customers. I don't know. One thing we don't do is we're not looking for someone's green card when they're coming in the store. That having been said, I support the Arizona law. I support the Arizona effort at keeping these immigrants out of here, keeping these illegal immigrant kids from becoming citizens, 100%. I would like to see this effort put off a couple of years.
Why do you sell this book in the first place? This guide, Welcome to America, and an immigrant's guide to freedom, which helps illegal immigrants navigate the system, how to get health care, how to get a Social Security card. Why do you sell this?
I sell it for the same reason that we're talking about the 14th Amendment. It's in the Constitution, free speech.
Okay, it's free speech.
It's my right. It's free speech. I'm not going to inhibit the guy that wrote that book. I'm not going to keep him from having free speech. If he wants to sell that...
But you don't sell every kind of book there is in your market, do you?
We sell what our customers want. If they want to have a guide on how to get health care or a driver's license, I'll sell that. Because on account of the free speech, see? But that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about here. I don't want illegal immigrants here any more than you do. The fact is, though, my store is selling these books rather briskly, and I don't think it would be an intelligent thing to not sell them at this time, is all I'm saying.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is Mike in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Robert, I just wanted to make sure. So what you're saying is okay with illegal immigrants as long as they're profitable, as long as they keep buying your book.
No, sir. No, I agree with free speech, and I also agree with the immigration laws of the United States, and I agree with the Arizona law. I think that they are applying the 14th Amendment too broadly.
If you were in support of the Arizona law and the cause of legal immigrants, wouldn't even selling that book be counterintuitive toward that point?
What do you mean counterintuitive? I'm in business. Are you in business?
No,
You don't have your own business. All right. When you got your own business, you're in business to make money, and I've got customers.
Oh, right. I understand the point of making
the
bottom line.
A certain product. I think it's a fantasy to assume that because people are in business, we're all standing on some kind of a principle. The principle I stand on is free enterprise and free speech.
Right. Right. If I have my own business, though, if I have something I'm opposed to or a point or stand I want to make, I'm not going to sell something that's contrary to that.
That's what you say. But until such time as you've got bills to pay, and you've got, especially in a recession, I don't think you can make a case.
All right, Mike, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL, the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Even if that young man doesn't have a business, but I think he's asking a correct question. You are against the illegal immigration. You're against illegal immigrants having children here and having them become citizens. This is what the Arizona law is looking to prevent. The Arizona law is saying, that essence...
Well, the Arizona law is saying that the 14th Amendment is being interpreted the wrong way. The 14th Amendment has nothing to do with illegal immigrants. It has to do with people who are subject to the jurisdiction thereof, and so forth. So it has nothing to do with illegal immigrants. That's what the 14th Amendment says. Now, I agree with that. It so happened that the book that we're selling, which is Welcome to America, A Guide to Freedom, I don't know what you want me to say. People are buying the book, you know?
Well, the guy's point is a good point. If people are buying the book, that's fine. But isn't that going against what you stand for?
It goes against the fact that it doesn't go against what I stand for. It allows illegals to come here, but it is not encouraging them to have babies. And that's what I'm talking about.
Well, are you against illegals coming here?
I most certainly am against illegals coming here.
Then if you're against illegals coming here, why do you enable them by selling this book?
I don't enable them. The book is being sold. Once they get here, the book is here already. You understand? So I'm not selling that book and waving it at them across the border and saying, come on over and get this book. They're here, and so the book is here.
Well, I don't know, Bob. It sounds to me, I mean, and I could be very wrong, it sounds to me like you're making you're splitting hairs here.
In what way?
When you say that you are opposed to illegal immigration, and you're opposed to illegal immigrants having their children here, but you sell this book to them, you're basically saying that you want to make money off the immigrant. I don't hear you saying anything like, it's hypocritical to make that money off the immigrant. Let me go to another call here. Greg in Detroit, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Greg.
You're misunderstanding me.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, I'd like to ask your guest, why is it that American business people think that they're better than everybody else and profit comes before your country,
well,
countrymen.
American business people are better than anybody else. I mean, in terms of business, there's no better business person than the American businessman.
So business people are superior to everybody else. That's what you're saying, right?
I didn't know. No, you asked me, why do American business people think they're better than anybody else? I said, we are better at business than anybody else.
Well, why is it okay for you to do business? You know, what you're saying is, as long as it's profitable...
I tell you what, why don't you hold the line here, Greg? We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Robert Greene, opposed to illegal immigrants having kids here, but he's selling the book, Welcome to America, Your Guide to Freedom. 877-876-7445. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Bill Hendry Show.
877-876-7445. Robert Greene is on the line with me from Fraser Foods. My question, very simply, Robert, before we get back to our callers. You want to deport illegal immigrants, and you don't want the children of illegal immigrants to be citizens, right?
That is absolutely correct, Bill.
Well, hold on. I just want to ask you another question. But you are selling a guide in your stores that basically helps illegal immigrants. It's called Welcome to America, A Guide, Your Guide to Freedom. Tells them how to get health care, tells them how to get a Social Security card, tells them how to get a driver's license. You are selling that, right?
Bill, yes, we are. We're selling it in two of our stores.
All right, and then hold on. One other question. Why are you selling that book that enables illegal immigrants when you don't want them in the country, that you don't want the children being citizens, you want them deported?
Because I have no way of knowing. I'm selling a book. It's selling very successfully. I don't know what your question is.
Why are you selling that book to illegals when you don't want them in the country?
I don't know whether the book is being sold to illegals. I don't know who is buying the book. I don't.
Oh, come on, Bob. Who do you think is going to buy the book?
I don't know, Phil. I support freedom of speech. I don't know that illegals are buying it. Do you? Can you prove that illegal immigrants are buying this book?
Mr. Green, you're a business person.
And Phil, you and I have known each other a long time. It doesn't have to be Mr. Green unless you're very angry with me. And
I'm angry that I don't think you're being responsive. If you are opposed to illegal immigrants, if you're opposed to them having their kids here, you know...
Well, do you have any proof that illegal immigrants are buying that book? Do you?
My question...
Do you have the proof? Otherwise, you can't keep talking to me about that.
Let me go back to my phone caller then. But, you know, I haven't finished on this topic. Greg, go ahead. I apologize. We had to take a break.
That's okay. I'll get right to the point with this guy. The only thing he supports is making money. He's a phony and a hypocrite, and he's un-American.
Well, he's just like the rest. Call people names. It's easy to call people names, but you got to have an argument.
Well, I'm just calling it like it is, friend. You're a hypocrite. You know, you're like a piece of glass. Everybody can see right through. The only thing you care about is making money. That's all you care about.
That's what the American way is. You ever heard the old saying, the business of business is business? The business of America is business. And Mr. Henry said to me...
You business people think you're better than everybody else. You're no better than me. You know what I got to say to you?
Have you got a job? Have you got a job?
10,000 auto workers lost their jobs last year. You know what everybody said to them? They said, get another job.
You don't have a job.
You know what I got to say to you? Get another
job. You don't have a job. You don't have a job.
I have a job.
You do get a... Well, guess who you work for?
I don't do business.
A businessman.
Not American people. I do business with American companies that produce goods in this country because I support America and American workers. You're a phony and a hypocrite.
You
might as well just...
I do business with American companies.
What American company are you doing business with? Public with this book?
The book's published in America. The book is created in America.
The book is created in America, published in America, and it is intended to be purchased by illegals.
Once again, do you have proof that that book is being bought by illegals? You don't know that. Sir, can you prove that illegal immigrants are buying the guidebook? The gentleman in Detroit, he can't.
That's a phony. That's a lame excuse, and you know it. You know,
what I do know is...
...do business with communist China. It's not communist China anymore, right? It's just China, but it's okay. You know, it was okay for 50,000 guys to get killed in Vietnam and another 20 in China, but now it's okay to do business because it's profitable, right?
What I do know is you don't have an argument. When you're talking to me about China, I'm telling you about... I'm trying to keep them out of this country, too.
I hope you have a nice bank account.
And the reason why you're angry is you don't. And that's the reason. That's the difference between you and me. You're angry because you don't know how to make money. I do know. What's that?
Hey, phony. Do you have an American flag
unemployed
over your store? Put an American flag up there with that American flag.
No, I fly the American flag because I believe in America. And I believe in the
Mexican flag a little bit higher. Put that Mexican flag a little bit higher than that American flag. Put another flag that's got a dollar sign on it. Put a flag that has a big green dollar sign on it. That's number one. Then Mexico and then the United States.
You show me a guy who doesn't want to earn a dollar.
Thanks for taking my call. Got it, guys.
You want to earn a dollar as much as I do, you phony.
All right, now hold on for a minute. Now, you know, that's the pot calling the kettle black. That's what we're talking about. 877-876-PHIL. That's the pot calling the kettle black, isn't it?
What do you mean the pot calling the kettle black? That gentleman there was racist to assume that illegals would buy the guidebook. I suppose I should stop selling salsa and tortilla chips because an illegal immigrant might buy them. I find it to be very untoward, Phil.
No, you know the problem with this, Bob, is the following thing. You've got a business, you've got a company, you're making a lot of money, and it turns out that something sells, and it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, it's something that is enabling the very thing you say you're against, which is illegal immigration, the birth of illegals in this country, and so on and so forth. And you're selling it, and you're not making your case that you are selling this because it's a moneymaker for you. And you want to put off for a couple of years the argument about this Arizona law that would, you know, make it illegal to have babies in this country, this anchor baby thing, you know.
That's exactly what they're called, anchor babies, because these Mexicans come up here and they have these babies. And
I know what it is. I know why it's called that.
All right. That's why I'm opposed to it.
And then if you're opposed to it, but you're selling the book, Welcome to America... You know,
you and the gentleman in Detroit, you still want to talk about that. And that's fine. We can talk about anything you want to talk about, Phil.
Well, the gentleman in Detroit was bringing up a point that I've been trying to bring up with you. Isn't it inconsistent and hypocritical for you?
Well, he called me a hypocrite, too.
For you to sell a book like that, to sell a book that enables the immigration illegally of people, enables the anchor babies to be born, in other words, enables everything that you say you're against. How can you say you're in favor of that Arizona law?
I'm completely in favor of that Arizona law. I've never been against that Arizona law. What you did, and I thought it was wrong, is to take the fact that my store sells Welcome to America, Your Guide to Freedom, and say that that somehow makes me, and I believe you, you even used the word, you said that it made me a douchebag or some kind.
I didn't say douchebag at all.
Well, but I'm hearing things because I heard you and that guy from Detroit call me a douchebag. I don't like that kind of language.
I didn't call you that at all. The man in Detroit didn't call you that at all. But I will tell you this. You were called a hypocrite.
That's the same thing. That's the exact same thing.
And I didn't call you a douchebag.
No, but it's the same thing. Calling me a douchebag or a hypocrite. I hear douchebag. When you say hypocrite, I hear the word douchebag. And so,
all right, if you hear that, that's not what I called you.
It doesn't matter. It's what I hear.
And no, it's completely different. 877-876-7445. Ted in Bristol, Rhode Island. Go ahead, Ted. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good, sir.
I'm just going to make this quick, and then I got to go. But you said, not you, the radio host, the other guy said that.
Yes, sir.
Basically, you said that illegals are coming in and buying the book. You said it several times, and you kept saying you supported it, kind of as like a disclaimer to kind of get out of that they're buying it.
You're making an assumption. I made the assumption.
I'm sorry.
I don't
hold
know.
On sec. Just hold on one sec. I want to get my point down.
I'm not
I'll,
sure
I'll,
or not.
And I'll listen
I don't
to
remember
the
saying
in
that.
A minute. You just say it. Every business owner has to be responsible to an extent. If a business works with chemicals, it's their business to properly dispose of the chemicals. If a business works with metal, it's their business to properly dispose of the metals and recycle and everything.
Okay.
It's your
All
job
right.
as a business owner to make sure that you're not enabling illegal activity. And by people being in this country without the proper work, paper, and everything else, you're enabling them by selling that book. You know what the book does. You said you know the book
that
does.
Isn't my job.
They're buying it. And when you found out, the responsible thing to do would have been just to pull the book and be like, I'm sorry, I can't sell this anymore. It's not to say you guys can't shop here anymore, illegals, but you just can't buy this book because it's not appropriate.
I don't know what you're talking about when you say that when a chemical company has to dispose of chemicals. I'm a grocery store owner. What's that got to do with illegals? What's that got to do with illegal immigrants?
I was using them as an example, saying you have to be responsible as a business owner for certain things, and it's being very irresponsible by selling that book. Because you disagree with something so strongly, I mean, you said it like 10 times within like 15 minutes on the radio, but then you've got to go
I don't
and
recall
you,
that at all.
Well,
you
I do. I remember go, now that you did say
you
that.
But you go on and you keep saying, I sell this book. You're looking to make a buck. Yes, that's fine. You're a business owner. All business owners are looking to make money. I know that for a fact. But there's also personal responsibility as a business owner to make sure what you're doing is ethically and morally right. And what you're doing
what
is not
the
ethically or morally
not,
right.
All right, can I ask you, what about the people? What about the people that are not illegal immigrants that want to buy that book? Do I punish them because I don't want illegals buying it?
Oh, will you come on? Is that the same thing as saying you're punishing kids by not letting them buy a Playboy, aren't you?
You're looking for all kinds of way out of this. You dug yourself into a hole through your own words.
No, sir.
And now you're looking for a million ways out of it. There's no way out of it. You're selling something you know is irresponsible, and that's just the way it is. I have to go.
You're saying it doesn't make it so. I'm telling you that I don't know what I'm supposed to do if I take that book off the shelf and a woman comes in, American, maybe your mother, maybe your wife, maybe a friend of yours, and they say, where's that book? And I go, I'm sorry, I can't sell it to you because you're a Mexican. You know, did that guy hang up? I'll bet you money he hung up.
Yeah, he was done with what he had to say.
Yeah, he didn't want to hear me. These people that don't want to hear me argue against what they argue about, and they say,
They say what?
They say that I'm a hypocrite. What about the guy that wants to buy? What do I do, Phil? If you walk in and you want to, and you say to me, "Hi, Bob, I'm Phil Hendry. You know me. I'm from the radio, and I'd like to buy your book, Welcome to America: A Guide to Freedom." And I say, "I'm sorry, Hendry, I can't sell it to you because you're a Mexican." And I say, "What are you?" And you say, "What are you talking about?" And I'd say, "You're right. It sounds crazy, but that's what these people are saying."
No, that's not what they're saying, man. They're saying, "Don't sell it because illegals might buy it." Because first of all, it tells people how to break the law. All right.
What if you walk in and you want that book? And I say, what, you want to become an illegal immigrant, Phil? What is that about? And then I call up the police to say I got a crazy man here.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob. 877-876-PHIL. I can't argue. Talk about crazy. I can't argue crazy stuff with you, man. World famous Phil Hendry show still to come tonight. We have our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. We also have a Dr. Green Thumb report tonight as well in the world famous Phil Hendry show.
It's the Phil Hendry show. Listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
Time now for the Dr. Green Thumb report here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show this Friday night. January or whatever the hell, pot-firing catapult found at Arizona-Mexican border. Drug smugglers trying to get marijuana across the Arizona-Mexican border. Turn that down, man. Turn that, oh, that bottom. Drug smugglers trying to get marijuana across the Arizona-Mexican border apparently are trying a new approach, a catapult. National Guard troops operating a remote video surveillance system at the Naco Border Patrol Station, or Narco. No, it's Naco. Say they observed several people preparing a catapult and launching packages over the international border fence last Friday night. Tucson TV station KVOA says Border Patrol agents working with the National Guard contacted Mexican authorities who went to the location and disrupted the catapult operation. The smugglers left the area before they could be captured. Yeah, sure. But Mexican officials seized about 45 pounds of marijuana. So they disrupted the operation. They seized the marijuana. But gee whiz, they couldn't find the people that did it. The Mexican officials seized the 45 pounds of marijuana for resale, I mean for an SUV, and that's a very nice car for some Mexican general, and the catapult device. Naco is about 80 miles southeast of Tucson. Some stupid mother, a stupid Covina mother, has been arrested after authorities say her two children ate a marijuana-laced cookie and ended up in the hospital. These babies are 10 years of age and 11 years of age. They found a chocolate chip cookie, or cookie wrapped in plastic in the kitchen. They split it between themselves, according to the Covina police. The girls began feeling ill and were taken to a local hospital around 7 p.m. Monday. Toxicology tests indicated the girls were under the influence of pot. Covina Police Lieutenant Tim Doonan said the cookie allegedly belonged to this bitch, 33-year-old Veronica Sylvester. So this stupid bitch was booked on suspicion of child endangerment, and Child Protective Services were notified. Sylvester allegedly told police she got the cookie from a friend for medical purposes, which has got to be a lie, but that's just an editorial content on my part. Police say she does not have a prescription for medical marijuana, so she's a lying son. All right, 1970s marijuana kingpin arrested at a senior community. Listen to this. A key member of a Miami-based marijuana smuggling ring was arrested by the United States Marshals Service on Thursday, 31 years after skipping out on a federal trial. Mark Stephen Phillips was arrested in his apartment at Century Village, a senior community where he'd been living in recent months. Along with 13 others, Phillips was charged in May of 1979 in what was then the country's largest marijuana importation prosecution in history. The ring was known as the Black Tuna Gang, deriving its name from the radio moniker for the group's Colombian source for marijuana. Phillips, who faces sentencing for a racketeering conviction and adjudication of a fugitive warrant, told U.S. Magistrate Edwin Torres he has no property. He has $600 in the bank. He received $667 in monthly Social Security benefits, and he's flat on his ass broke, according to the Miami Herald. According to the U.S. Marshals Service, Phillips was sleeping when deputies went to his apartment on Monday and was told the judge wants to see you, Mark. Oh, man. 31 years later, he was told that by the lead deputy marshal. Authorities estimate that the ring smuggled 500 tons of marijuana into the U.S. in the mid-1970s. I'll let the old man be, huh? Oh, man, he's 62, I'm 58. Wait a minute. Two Austin men arrested for mailing $125,000 worth of weed. You've got to be kidding me. No, I'm not. Read on, Phil. Okay, two Austin men are behind bars in connection with drugs sent to the U.S. Postal Service. Austin police arrested Robert Barraza and William Obando. Police say the U.S. Postal Service found approximately 39 pounds of marijuana while it was being shipped to two different addresses in Austin. The Postal Service then alerted Austin police. Police who arrested Barraza and Obando. Officers say the shipment of drugs through the mail is a growing trend. I don't think so. Not if you're getting popped. Not if people are getting arrested for it. Basically, what's occurring is this weed is being grown in California, where it is legal to grow. Then they're not supposed to ship it out of the state, however. It is getting shipped. Sergeant William Lefevre said that, in all, police say the drugs are worth about $125,000. I don't know how you can do that, man, without getting busted for that, because it's, you know, drug sniffing and all that stuff. Mom's drug delivery doesn't reach imprisoned son. Dateline Santa Cruz, California. The mother of an inmate has been accused of dropping off bags of methamphetamine and marijuana at a California minimum security prison. Well, that's something they need in California, some prisons, minimum or maximum, more methamphetamine. The California Highway Patrol says 52-year-old Rhoda Lee Dido Nunley Jackball of Wheatland was arrested at about Wheatland. I'll bet it. Wheatland. Anyway, I was arrested about 2:50 a.m. Wednesday after prison staff watched her drop off the drugs near the Ben Lomond Conservation Camp entrance. Ben Lomond. Great. Didn't he host the afternoon movie on Channel 11? I'm kidding. So anyway, the state prison facility is in the Santa Cruz County Mountains. Guards saw inmates try to pick up the bags. CHP officer Sarah Jackson tells the Santa Cruz Sentinel that the drugs were destined for Nunley's son and another inmate to retrieve. There's no information on the woman's son. Other than the fact that he took a lot of money for those drugs, and now he's going to have to give it all back. Englewood, Florida. A routine traffic stop led to the arrest of two people on an unusual discovery Wednesday. Deputies pulled over Michael Paul Williamson, age 26, and his passenger Gwendolyn Kathleen Hannish, age 21, for speeding in Englewood Wednesday evening. During the traffic stop, deputies found three cookie tins containing marijuana brownies and two marijuana pipes inside the car. Williamson and Hannish were arrested and taken to the Charlotte County Jail. At the jail, after Hannish... This says Florida, man, but I don't know. Okay. Anyway, after Hannish consented to a strip search, which was the high point of their night. And anyway, she consented to this... I'm being a smartass. She consented to this strip search.
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
Correction officers discovered a crumpled piece of aluminum foil containing what was believed to be LSD and two baggies of pot inside her... Boing. She produced two sandwich bags of marijuana out of her vagina, explained Bob Carpenter, the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office guy. He said, it's the greatest night we ever had. The third item, which sounds awful, is crumbled up aluminum foil with LSD inside of it. The duo was charged with possession of marijuana and possession of drug paraphernalia. An additional charge on Hannish for possession of LSD in her vagina. Otherwise, it would have been perfectly legal. I'm kidding, of course, is pending the outcome of a lab test. They give a Labrador the acid to find out if it's... I'm kidding.
Kidding about that?
Yes, I'm kidding about that. World famous Phil Hendry Show coming up next hour. It's going to be Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard with me in our news hour. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where you can get all of your Phil Hendry needs met. And as a matter of fact, live streaming video of the show, live streaming audio on the video. You can get all of those archives, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archives. It is the largest single repository of one radio show in the world. The Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Solid rocket boosters blew away from the...
I think it speaks volumes for our district. I mean, I think our district's one of the best.
We sat there for like 2 hours. I sat there.
So what's the other 12%? It's our secret.
Giant douche nozzle.
Don't believe me.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Who's talking entertainment show that knows what it's talking about? Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. You know, so they do whatever they do. Anyway, Taco Bell is taking an aggressive stance in defense of their tacos. How about that? An Asian-American group of Asian-American lawmakers want Rush Limbaugh to say he's sorry for some Asian-American slur or slander. We'll tell you what that was. And Charlie Sheen heads to rehab. Now, that's one of those perennial headlines, you know. That's what we call an evergreen.
Yeah, no matter what the time of year.
No matter what the time of year, Charlie Sheen heads to rehab. But you know what? My hat's off to the guy because it shows a hit. This guy can be a drug addict. He can be an alcoholic. He can be heading off the rehab morning, noon, and night. But his show is a hit. He's doing the job. The network's happy with him. That's all that counts. On the line with me, in the studio with me here, Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. And this is an interesting, the Asian American thing.
Yeah, I got to hear this one. I didn't know anything about his story, but are they Chinese or what are they?
I believe these are Chinese Americans, and I would rather not you say, are they Chinese or what are they? Because it sounds a tad insensitive, you know?
Yeah, you got to watch that, man.
Well, I mean, I don't know. All I want to know is what kind is it?
What kind is it? Are you talking about...
What if it's an Asian?
It is an Asian. Asian American.
What type?
We'll find out here. What kind is it?
We're talking about soup, man. You know,
either we're not talking about soup, I just wanted to know what type, what was the variety of it.
What is it with you, man? It sounds like you're asking me what variety, like we're talking about hot sauce. These are Chinese Americans. Listen, Rush Limbaugh's imitation of the Chinese language during a recent speech made by Chinese President Hu Jintao has stirred a backlash among Asian American lawmakers in California and nationally. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? California State Senator Leland Yee, a Democrat from San Francisco, that wouldn't have anything to do with it, would it, Mr. Lee? Is leading a fight in demanding an apology from the radio talk show host for what he and others view as racist and derogatory remarks against the Chinese people. No, that's not racist. No. If you make fun of certain attributes or characteristics of a people, even if it's to mock your own inability to understand them, and a lot of that has to do with the mocking the Chinese language, we don't speak it. But I'm not going to, I ain't going to, what am I doing here, sitting defending Rush Limbaugh? He doesn't need my help, you know?
No, I was going to say, man, he's not going to get into trouble for him.
Well, let's listen first, okay, and then we'll keep going. Here's Rush mocking the Chinese language.
They normally, have some translator every couple of words, but Hu Jintao was just going, ching chong, ching chong, 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 ching chong, ching ba ba, chong, 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 ching, 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 ching. Ching, chong, ba ba, ching, 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 ching. Nobody was translating.
So what,
Yeah.
I mean, it was, whatever. I mean, it's done every day on a million different radio stations all over this country, but this cat, whatever, Mr. Yee wants an apology from Rush. In recent days, the state lawmaker has rallied civil rights groups. Come on, man. Don't we have more important things to do? The answer is no. Anyway, he rallied civil rights groups and boycott of companies like ProFlowers. Are you kidding? They're one of my sponsors. No way, baby. I love ProFlowers. Sleep Train and Domino's Pizza that advertise on Limbaugh's national talk radio show. The comments that he made, the mimicking of the Chinese language, harkens back to when I was a little boy growing up in San Francisco, and those were the hard days, rather insensitive days, Yee said in an interview Thursday. Rather insensitive, but not that much. However, all those customers coming into my dad's Chinese restaurant made up for it, and you know that I'm kidding. Anyway, you think you've arrived, and all of a sudden you get shot back to the reality that you're a second class citizen because the president of China is being mocked. Boy, I'll tell you what, man, you got some kind of a tender ass there, Mr. Yee.
What about that song, Mr. Yee, Mr. Yee? Whoa, Mr. Yee, Mr. Yee. You could play that and do a satirization and everything.
I don't think so, man.
Stupid.
No.
During a January 19th radio program, Limbaugh said there was no translation of the Chinese president's speech during a visit to the White House. And then he had the gall, he had the consummate bad taste to launch into...
They normally, some translator every couple of words, but Hu Jintao was just going... Ching-tong, ching-tong.
Something that wasn't very funny. Now then... He was speaking, and they weren't translating, Limbaugh just heard him say. They normally translate every couple of words. Hu Jintao was just going ching-chong, ching-ching-chong-ching. Or as we used to say in my show, sounds like a bunch of silverware dropping.
What?
You don't get it, huh?
Uh-oh.
Cling-clang, ching-chang, that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah.
Silverware dropping. He then launched into a 20-second-long imitation of the Chinese leader's dialect that was racist.
Okay.
Anyway, the next day, Limbaugh said he did a remarkable job of imitating China's president for someone who doesn't know the language spoken by more than 1 billion people. Very funny. Back in the old days, Sid Caesar, for those of you old enough to remember, was called a comic genius for impersonating foreign languages that he couldn't speak. But today the left says that that's racism. Actually, I'm pretty good at it, too.
But do a Chinaman.
Don't say Chinaman. I got enough problems with this thing. See, I do it way better than him.
Yeah, that's great, man.
I could do that. And I could make people think that this radio station you're listening to right now, folks, has gone all Chinese language all the time. But do I? No.
Media man is going to be pissed at you on account of what you done.
Yeah, I hope they are, man. Give us some much-needed ink. Why don't you, I tell you what you do, bud. I want you to card off what I just did, right? And then send it off to Media Matters with,
oh, crap,
just as a little addendum. Anyway, the next day, Limbaugh said he did a remarkable job and telephoned and emailed to Limbaugh's station operator, Clear Channel Communications Incorporated, his station operator. You mean his syndicator? Was not returned on Thursday. An email to Limbaugh's show requesting comment was also not returned because you guys in the print media there, Judy Lynn of the Associated Press, you guys are way down the food chain now, man. Way down the food chain. Nobody cares about you. All right. Yee has been joined by Asian American state and federal Democratic lawmakers who say Limbaugh's comments are inciting hate and intolerance in a polarized atmosphere. Let me ask a question here, man. Are there any Asian American politicians who are Republicans who are joining in this, and then I would be convinced? A number of civil rights groups, including Chinese for Affirmative Action, Japanese American Citizens League, and the California National Organization of Chinese Women. I'm kidding. No, just the California.
Well, they ought to have that, though.
Now, the National Organization for Women. I'm sure. The National Organization for Chinese Women.
Yeah, because it may be a racist thing.
You can't say that, you fool. You can't say that. It's not racist. Do I think what Rush did is racist? Of course I don't. I'm a performer. I'm a satirist. You do these things. It happens. The Chinese people, of course, I'm sure, have their own version of what English sounds like when the President of the United States is speaking. Maybe they have some kind of... What does English sound like to someone that doesn't speak English?
What do you mean?
Well, what does it sound like?
What are you talking about? You mean the English?
English. What we're speaking right now.
Yeah.
What does it sound like to someone that doesn't speak it?
Oh, you mean like how the Chinese sound?
Yeah. This is how the Chinese sound to me. Like that, okay? Right?
Yeah.
What did I tell you about belching?
Yeah.
Okay, so what does English sound like?
Probably like, yeah. I don't know, you know.
What do you mean, yeah?
Well, what do you think it sounds like?
I think it sounds like this. Like, okay, say Obama, give me something that Obama would say.
All right, Obama. Let's say Obama says, "Good evening, my fellow Americans."
Well, that's what he'd say. "Good evening, my fellow Americans."
Right. What does it sound like to a guy that doesn't speak English?
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds like that.
Well, what does that mean, it sounds like that?
He just don't understand it, that's all.
That's not what I'm talking about. Get out of here. He don't understand. I know he doesn't understand it. Here's what it probably sounds like.
Giant douche nozzle.
That's what I think it sounds like to anybody that doesn't speak English when he hears my, you know, my lords and ladies of the manor. I'm the President of the United States.
Don't believe me.
But Yee has been joined by Asian American state and federal lawmakers.
Probably does sound like douche nozzle.
Yeah.
Yee has been joined by Asian American state and federal lawmakers who say Limbaugh's comments are inciting hate, intolerance, and a polarized atmosphere. Why, they may even want to bomb Pearl Harbor again. Anyway, the New York Assemblywoman Grace Meng, a Queens Democrat, she says she wants an apology. You ain't going to get one unless, here's the only way you're going to get an apology, if the advertisers begin to desert. However, I will tell you this. My sense of Rush Limbaugh is the following thing. Seriously. If his advertisers begin to desert him, there's a very good chance he would say, you know what, I'm sick of doing this show. Goodbye. Screw all of you. I don't know what the percentage would be.
Are you kidding me, man? He would give up a lot of money.
Well, no. Look. He does what he does. An advertiser splits. It's up to the salespeople to go out and get another advertiser. Now, Rush, I'm sure, has got a very good team of salespeople. And they'll run out and they'll get him more advertisers. except for the guy that runs his company, which is, anyway. But if they desert it to the tune of a Don Imus kind of desertion, although I'll tell you this, Rush is a guy that you're going to stand behind him a lot longer than you are Imus. Imus got deserted quick by MSNBC because he was kind of a lightweight, and they didn't need that kind of heat. Limbaugh, on the other hand, is a heavy hitter. Limbaugh is not just a big talk show host. Some people have put him up as the head of the entire conservative movement, the entire Republican Party. So this cat carries a lot of weight, if you'll pardon the expression. This woman says he has, in his own way, trying to attack the leader of another country, and that's his prerogative as well, but at the same time, he offended 13% of New York's population. There are 14 million or 4.5% Asian Americans in the United States, more if counting those of mixed race. In California, Asians make up more than 12%. While Asian American lawmakers demand an apology from Limbaugh, some are increasingly concerned for Yee's personal safety. Yee? Public officials have been put on alert after the deadly rampage in Tucson where U.S. Representative Gabrielle Giffords was shot. Okay, so now they're going to make this thing about Yee, and he's going to get some right-wing crazy, and none of it's happened yet. Some jackass, I guess, called in a threat. Yee is claiming he was shortly after condemning Limbaugh's remarks. Yee said he received racist death threats to his San Francisco and Sacramento offices. Of course. I mean, death threats and criticism like that are part of the game, man. I mean, there isn't, to be honest with you guys, I've been in radio for many, many years, and death threats are, you talk about getting death threats. I get death threats all the time. I mean, this is part of the game of being a public personality. Now, to go public with specific death threats after you say certain things, I don't know whether that's very wise. And I don't think that Mr. Yee saying that was really saying it so that people would know he's getting these unusual calls. I don't doubt that that man, anybody in public life, gets threats. I find it unusual myself, right? I don't find it particularly honest to say, aha, I'm getting these threatening calls. Why don't I use them to spotlight my issue with Limbaugh? I mean, that's possible, too. Nonetheless, going public with a comment like that, that you're getting death threats, is political. It does not help you. It doesn't maintain your safety. Anyway, we will give you more on that as we continue. World famous Phil Henry Show. Taco Bell, speaking of, we've got people like Limbaugh who's making comments about the Chinese, and then we have people who are making fun of Taco Bell's tacos. And they're sticking up for their beef, brother. While American Idol remains the highest rated TV show, even without Simon Cowell, the world famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman with me here in our news hour. And what do you want to ask, Bud?
Well, you were talking a rant about a Yee and what Yee meant.
Well, he was saying that State Senator Yee was and is a major sponsor of on-campus free speech legislation, which I think is worthy of talking about, right?
What's that mean, though? I mean, free speech on campus.
Free speech on campus. There's been speech issues on college campuses across America for many, many years, and they get sorted out eventually. It was State Senator Yee here in California who sponsored legislation that Rance was telling me about that was important to him and his school, Occidental, a few years back. Now, and then I said to him about Mario Savio.
Yeah, that's the guy. What's that guy?
Mario Savio was at Berkeley in the early 60s. And Mario Savio is probably credited with being the father of free speech, the free speech movement, at least in the California campuses, although it sort of kicked it off across the country. He was a student at UC Berkeley, and there was an issue. I don't know what the hell it was. One of the students set up a card table that had to do with some political kind of stuff, and it might have been civil rights. I don't know what it was, but the campus police came and were going to take the card table away and the student, and they surrounded the police car, and so that began.
That's a lot of writing about Vietnam and everything like that, huh?
No, it wasn't rioting about Vietnam. It had nothing to do with Vietnam, I don't think. It had to do with free speech on campus. What they were basically saying is, why can't we have these different things that we talk about on campus out here in the public area? Anyway, so that's the end of that, man. Speaking of free speech on campus, let's get to the really important stuff, okay?
Right.
Taco Bell and its beef filling. Now,
That's very important speech issues.
I think so. Taco Bell takes its beef with lawsuit to the public. I always like it when a business is attacked and then the business turns around and says, oh, wait just a second. No, we didn't do that, because I think we're used to businesses settling this crap out of court. We're used to businesses, what they call courthouse step lawyering, where, you know, on the way into the trial, they cut a deal and everybody's happy. We're always used to companies doing that, aren't we? And it's very rare when we see a company turn around on an accuser and say, no, we didn't have a condom in our clam chowder, like Smith and Walensky, which is a steakhouse, and they're all across the country, and some woman tried to sue them. Remember that?
Uh-uh.
She said she found a condom in her clam chowder.
How did she know?
What do you mean, how did she know?
It's on her spoon.
It was probably on her spoon, yeah.
Oh.
How did she know?
I don't know.
Anyway, Smith and Walensky turned around and said, no, there's no condoms in our clam chowder, and we're going to prove it. And they challenged her, and they went back down the quality control line and proved, no, there's no way that any condom got into that clam chowder. You put it in there, lady, and guess what? That's exactly what happened. Same thing with that, what was the other one?
The lady put a thumb in a chili.
Yeah, the thumb in the chili caper. Well, Taco Bell says a legal beef over the meat in its tacos is bull. The fast food chain took out full-page ads in at least 9 major newspapers and launched a YouTube campaign featuring its president Friday to proclaim its taco filling is 88% beef. Not quite 90, but a false advertising lawsuit filed last week that caused an online stir alleges the company's filling doesn't have enough beef to be called that. The lawsuit seeks to make the company stop calling it beef and pay the suing law firm's bill. Taco Bell trumpeted, thank you for suing us. Here's the truth about our seasoned beef in the ads in Friday's edition of the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and other papers. Let's listen, shall we? Taco Bell is taking this lawsuit very seriously. In fact, the president of the fast food restaurant, Greg Creed, not to be confused with the guy in that band who started Alter Bridge, he went to YouTube.
Now, I know there are quite a few questions out there about...
Thanks a lot. I'm kidding. Here he is.
Now, I know there are quite a few questions out there about the ingredients in our seasoned beef. And I want you to know the truth about our food. Our beef is...
Wait a minute. The guy's a limey?
It sounds like he's from England or something.
What's that guy? What's that about?
He's Australian.
Now, I know there are quite a few questions out there about the ingredients in our seasoned beef, and I want you to know the truth about our food. Our beef is 100% USDA inspected, just like the quality beef you buy in a supermarket and prepare in your home. We then simmer it in our unique recipe of seasoning, spices, water, and other ingredients to provide Taco Bell's signature taste and texture. Think of it when you're making chili. You add your own recipe of seasoning and spices to give the beef flavor and texture. Otherwise, it would just taste like unseasoned ground beef. Well, we do the same thing with our recipe for seasoned beef. Our seasoned beef recipe contains 88% quality USDA inspected beef.
Boy, now I want a taco.
Me too.
All right, so here he is telling the public what else is in the taco filling.
So what's the other 12%?
Yeah.
It's our secret, and I'm going to give it to you. 88% is USDA inspected quality beef. 3% is water to keep it moist and juicy. 4%, it's Mexican spices and flavors, including salt, chili pepper, onion powder, tomato powder, sugar, garlic powder, and cocoa powder. And 5% is oats, caramelized sugar, yeast, citric acid, and other ingredients. I want you to have all the facts. We stand behind the quality of our seasoned beef 100%, and we are proud to serve it to you.
Oh, God, do I want a taco from Taco Bell now? That's all he's done, is he's made me a lifetime customer. We'll be back, world-famous Phil Henry Show, coming up next. We shouldn't make fun of the Chinese or Taco Bell, but we're going to mock some American Idol singers next. PhilHenryShow.com is our website. We'll be back with the American Idol kids and maybe the last bit there for Mr. Creed.
Phil Hendry.
I'm going to get Burrito Supreme. Anybody want anything?
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, we're going to talk about American Idol here in a minute. Bud Dickman, we got so hungry listening to the Taco Bell. You got that, Bud?
Got a point now.
Bud's going out to get some orders for us. You got that. And I'm sorry, folks, that we're taking up time with this, but I just want to make sure. You got the menu there, man. You just tell, and make sure that you get some napkins.
Go ahead, order, I'll be ready.
Yeah, hold on, Bud.
Get some napkins and stuff.
Yep. Are you there? Are you there? Are you there?
Well, what are you doing, man? I got to get on with the show.
I got to hold on. Let me back up.
How are you doing?
Sir, yeah.
Go ahead, order,
I'll be
ready.
Yeah, I want to get a Gordita and a Crunchwrap Supreme and another thing, a Chalupa. And then another one, I want to get in Chorizo.
Hold on for a minute. What are you doing?
I'm getting what I want.
Will you hurry up, man? Because I'd like to order, too.
Okay, well, so on. Okay. And then,
all right.
Yeah, I want to get a soft taco.
All right.
And a beefy crunch burrito.
And will you hurry up, man?
Okay, sorry. Just one more thing. I want to get a beefy crunch burrito and a double steak burrito.
All right.
And then, for my boss, Mr. Henry, he wants the volcano nachos.
I didn't say I wanted the volcano nachos.
Yeah, you did.
You did. You just don't want anybody to know it. Then I want a Taco Supreme for the black guy that I work with.
All right.
And then I want...
What are you talking about, man?
Sorry. And that's all that I want right now.
All right. It goes in 747. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, where's that girl that works here? You know that girl that works late at night?
Get the food, will you?
Oh, there. I gotta go through it.
All right.
Get change for 50.
All right.
Okay.
Get out of here.
What happened?
I don't know. He better have had that food, though, when he gets back. What is with all of that food that he ordered, man?
I didn't order none of that.
What is he? A beefy crunch burrito and a double steak burrito? American Idol tops the Thursday night ratings. The American Idol ratings, the American Idol ratings watch continues. We didn't know there really was an American Idol ratings watch, but apparently there's some people very concerned with whether or not this show is going to survive without Simon Cowell. Anyway, after a 5% week-to-week drop in the 18 to 49 demographic for Wednesday's installment, last night's episode showed less erosion, down 3% in the demo and total viewers compared to its first Thursday installment. You understand, this is the most ridiculous thing. For most people who like American Idol or have never heard of it, they don't give a crap. However, it is an interesting story to look at the ratings now that Simon's gone. Is it going to survive? We don't know. It was going down the toilet even when he was there, but people don't want to talk about that. Thank you. Idol averaged a 7.6 rating with 22.2. I better say that right. They're going to think I'm making fun of the Chinese president. With 22.2 million viewers from 8 to 9 p.m., more than enough to power Fox to a win on Thursday. Meanwhile, the Idol bump propelled Bones to its highest-rated telecast in more than 4 years. I never even heard of that show.
Well, now you have.
This installment of the show features auditions in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's listen. Here is a 28-year-old Camilla Merricks of Oak Grove, Kentucky. She told American Idol that people are really surprised when they hear me sing. She's right.
You're my heat. You're on the fire. You make me weak with such a desire. You tell me. Cause you're not mine, I can't deny it. Don't you hear me talking, baby? Love me now, I'll go crazy.
Call me naive.
Boy. Here is Randy Jackson. He doesn't want anyone to encourage this woman to sing ever again.
Wow, girl. Come on, girl. Oh, my goodness.
You know what? You gotta go back home and practice and get good.
No.
Yes.
Don't say it. Just don't do it.
No, come on.
Just don't do it. Honestly, just don't do it.
No, don't go there.
Baby, that was horrible. Loud. It hurt. No, I'm sure you're a nice girl. There's many talents you have.
So is it a no for you?
Let me see. Yes, a no for me, yes.
LaToya Yonique Moore, age 26, from Nashville, tries to impress the judges. She fails.
When I close my eyes.
Almost as big as me.
When I close my eyes, I break down and cry. It's all about the way you
man.
Wow, dude.
Anyway, the judges now react to that.
Right. What song is that?
That is Tamia, When I Close My Eyes.
Oh, crap.
Are you sure?
Yes.
That sounded nothing like that.
Definitely unique.
I can definitely do this. No. I would be glad to choose another song because this has been my dream for a long time.
Baby,
I will
the
be
sound,
glad.
The tone is
no,
not
it was
good.
Just...
It's almost like, it's like annoying. It's almost like that.
So it's a go for me. I really can't believe that.
We're trying to keep it real because this is going to help you, hopefully.
No kidding. Like, don't go into the music. How could that be your dream your whole life and you come out? Now, I could hear her being nervous.
Well, yeah, she sounded like, it sounded like her nerve was messing with her, like, tone and everything.
Like, she sounded tone deaf to me. Yeah, and you're right. If she hadn't been nervous.
If she hadn't been nervous, she might have sounded better, but I don't know.
You know, even if you're nervous, you figure you can carry a tune, if you can carry a tune. But one of the things I heard that girl doing is she's trying to make it sound like, I wonder if she was singing the way you usually, I wonder what she normally sounds like. Maybe she's, yeah, okay. So that's American Idol, and that is, when is Dickman getting back here?
Got it in the kitchen.
You got it in the kitchen? Bring it out here during the break, okay? I don't want no food in here, man. You remember that?
Why?
What do you mean, why? I told you the last time I had that pizza guy in here, there was pizza juice all over the place.
That wasn't pizza juice.
Shut up, man.
Don't bring it in here, man. All right, so that's rough. That a poor kid. What are you going to do? She sounds, you know, if a kid sounds like hell, they sound like hell. Like I'm glad that they don't have Simon anymore, which is he was still very entertaining when he told those people just to take it back and, you know, drown it. But at least, like the guy said, they're keeping it real with these kids. You cannot encourage these kids to keep singing if they sound like that. That girl sounded like she was giving birth, you know?
Yeah, it sounded like she was pushing a cow. You know?
Yeah, she was having a cow.
Okay. Charlie Sheen is released from a hospital. He's entered rehab. See, Charlie knows what to do, man. He'd never go on American Idol feeling the way he does. 2.5 Men actor Charlie Sheen has entered rehab. His publicist said on Friday, a day after being hospitalized following reports of a 36-hour drug and drink-fueled party at his home. Wow. Charlie Sheen has voluntarily entered an undisclosed rehab center today. He's most grateful to all who have expressed their concern when told that nobody did express their concern. The spokesperson, Stan Rosenfeld, just turned with a huff and walked back into the hospital from whence he came. Here is Casey Jordan. She's talking to TMZ about her night with Charlie Sheen. While he is trying to get his life back together, trying to detox, trying to become a human being again, she's spilling her guts to TMZ.
When I first saw him, he was just wasted out of his mind, which I was trying to get to that point too. Trust me.
So you guys started drinking or what?
Yeah. And I said, I can beat you. I'll beat you in drinking. And he's like, bullshit. And I had just made myself, like, an all-vodka drink, just all vodka with a splash.
Uh-huh.
And he grabs it from my hand. I love the guy, right?
Yeah.
Grabs it and just starts, he chugs it in, like, 3 seconds. I'm like, he's like, don't ever test me again. I was like, and everyone was like, don't make him another drink. And I'm like, I won't. This one's for me.
Yeah, don't ever test him again because he holds his liquor so well he wound up in a hospital bed. Next, Jordan alleges a man delivered a ton of cocaine to Shane. Just alleges.
Some guy came over with, like a side bag. It was really nice. Like, I think it was a Gucci.
The satchel.
Like, comes in, you know, all professional. Nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Sits at the kitchen table, just pops out, like, 5 8-balls.
Huge.
Like, the size of my fist. 20 grand, I swear. Like, just, like, all on the table.
Wow.
And I'm like,
oh, that's just great. Oh, wow.
He gets it, the guy leaves or whatever, and then again, and then, you know, rolls into the morning. Yeah, this green pipe, it looks like a bong, like for weed, but, like, I don't know. He just, like, took a chunk, because these are huge rocks, it just sliced it off, and then he, like, shoved it right into the pipe and was smoking it.
So anyway.
Did you ever smoke, Wolf?
All right, so here is the final installment in Jordan, and where is she now?
We watched porn.
Okay.
And we sat there for like 2 hours, and I sat there, and I'm like sitting there, I'm like, because I do porn, I'm like, oh, I know who that is. We're just going through all the porn. He has so much porn. Just a huge theater. I think that's all he does is just probably sit there and watch porn.
And what did he do while you guys were watching?
Yeah, what did he do?
He wasn't doing anything. Like, he was just... He just had his little green pipe with him the whole time, just kept hitting it.
Shut up about Blackzilla.
I had a wet dream last night.
That was Blackzilla. He was nowhere to be found. Anyway, You know, it's a little unusual, although given the amount of drugs and alcohol, that he's watching porn. He's sitting with a porn actress, and they're not doing anything. They're just sitting and they're watching the porn. That's the only thing about that evening that sounds unusual. The rest sounds completely healthy.
Yeah, it all sounds good to me.
Totally healthy. There's not a thing wrong with it, and I don't think that anyone should even think another word or a thought. The drugs, it's all fine. But the fact that he sat with a porn actress watching porn and they did not engage in sex themselves, that's bizarre, man. Otherwise, you're fine.
Blackzilla porn would be the way...
Shut up about Blackzilla. I never should even have told you about Blackzilla.
That's all you talk about, man.
I want to know what it's about.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. All right. 877-876-PHIL. That's the, phone number. We're not taking calls, though. PhilHenryShow.com. You can go to our website, though, and get a backstage pass. An officer causes a mass panic after filing a phony police shooting report. We may talk about that story. It's not the sexiest. Sounds like, in fact, the most boring one that we have in the batch. We'll find something else when we come back. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Seven high-stress... Now, here's something here, man. Seven high-stress jobs and what they pay. Now, this is a very interesting story here. These are high-stress gigs and how much they pay. Now, if you've ever had a job, you've likely experienced stress related to that job. And most of us expect to deal with some level of work-related stress. It's inevitable, isn't it? However... Work stress can lead to some serious consequences for both workers and employers. For example, healthcare expenditures, you know all about that. They're nearly 50% greater for workers who report high levels of stress, according to the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, NIOSH. Plus, studies also show that stressful working conditions are associated with increased absenteeism, tardiness, and intentions by workers to quit their jobs, all of which have a negative effect on the bottom line. You would be surprised at the number of employers or partners or people in business. They don't care. They don't give a damn. They don't give a damn. Just don't care, man. You either do it, they'll squeeze the last bit of life they got in you out of you, and then they move on, right? So as an employee, you have to know this, and you have to be aware of things you can do. Those jobs considered high stress were rated as extremely stressful or fairly stressful by at least 60% of the respondents in this survey. Either extremely stressful or fairly stressful by 60%. Those are the jobs considered high stress. While some of the jobs that made the list may surprise you, it turns out that sometimes the most stressful jobs are not always the most obvious. According to the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, NIOSH, conditions that commonly lead to stress include unrealistic deadlines and workloads, lack of control over the working environment, lack of supervisory support, and poorly defined work roles. So shall we go from 10 to 1 on this, Bud? What should we do?
Yeah, people complain if you don't.
People complain if I don't. That's simple-minded. All right, here's number 10, or not, excuse me, number 7. These are the seven most stressful. Okay, number 7, elementary school teacher. The 7th most stressful job in America. Median annual salary, $41,000. People in this job reporting high stress, 62%. That's not hard for me to believe at all. People generally go into teaching to make a difference, but the day-to-day realities of dealing with a room full of children don't always match up with the vision of being an educator. Teachers often find themselves playing babysitter, disciplinarian, in addition to trying to get Johnny to learn fractions or Susie to memorize the state capitals. Despite all of that, 78% of elementary school teachers report they are satisfied with their jobs, according to payscale.com. It's a high-stress job, but they like it. Number 6, management consultant. Now, what the hell is that, and why would it be high stressful? Median annual salary, $97,000. Management consultants analyze and propose ways to improve in an organization's structure, efficiency, or profits, according to the BLS, whatever that is. This is a job that constantly puts you into new situations where something's broken. The company's hiring wants you a fix, and you're on the hook to provide it. Because 26% of management consultants are self-employed, more than 3 times the average for all other occupations, according to the BLS. Your success or failure has an immediate impact on your personal bottom line. So when you're a consultant, they say, okay, I'm bringing you in. That's the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS. You better get it done here, Charlie. $97,000 a year. All right, number five, probation officer. A probation officer, someone that's dealing with people in the correctional system. Median annual salary for a probation officer, $40,000. He makes even less money than an elementary school teacher. People in this job reporting high stress, 70%. Probation officers work closely with convicted criminals sentenced to probation, their families, and the courts. They often have very heavy workloads due to court-imposed deadlines. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, some additional requirements include extensive travel, carrying a firearm or other weapon for protection, and collecting and transporting urine samples for drug testing. All of these factors make for a stressful work environment, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Although the high stress levels can make these jobs very difficult at times, the work also can be very rewarding. Who are they quoting here, man? Many workers obtain personal satisfaction from counseling members of their community and helping them. I'd put these guys at $97,000 a year. I'd put the elementary school teachers at $97,000 a year. And the management consultant guys, I'd stick their ass down at $41,000. What do you think of that?
Why'd you do that?
Because you want to know something? There's a lot of guys that go into consulting just as an easy way to make a dollar. I'm not a big... That's just my opinion. Let's just put it that way. Number four, most stressful job, registered nurse, median annual salary, $58,000. The specialties and work settings for registered nurses vary greatly, but regardless of what type, the job requires that you provide both medical and emotional support for patients and their families. That's a big responsibility. If you can handle the stress, there's plenty of jobs to go around, a lot of jobs in nursing. There really are. Employment of registered nurses is expected to grow by 22%. From 2008 to 2010, much faster than the average for all other occupations, much of that having to do with the new national health care legislation. Number three, most stressful job, dig this, restaurant assistant manager. Median salary, $33,000. Assistant manager. Managing a busy restaurant can be rewarding, but it's also most certainly stressful. There are employees, vendors, and customers all demanding your attention, the long hours, and the low pay don't help. The most difficult task for this job may be dealing with irate customers and motivating employees. Why do they say assistant manager and not manager?
I don't know. Maybe assistant manager, the guy that does all the stuff, and the guy with the manager, you didn't do anything at all.
Then why even have one?
Yeah, I don't know.
Number two, most stressful job. Sales account manager. Account managers and sales are typically held to a sales quota by day. In other words, that's the guy in Glenn Ross, played by Kevin Spacey.
Oh, that punk face.
Yes, the punk face. Account managers and sales are typically held to a sales quota by day, week, month, quarter, depending on the company. If you're routinely not meeting your quota, not only will you likely be stressed, you could be out of a job, Charlie. Job performance is measured by a number of factors. But when you're in sales, your future at the company is pretty closely tied to how much money you're bringing to the door. And the number one most stressful job, financial aid counselor. Financial aid counselor. Not only does the financial aid counselor top the list of most stressful jobs, it doesn't pay that well. $38,000 a year, which can be stressful enough. As college tuition costs climb and U.S. wages remain relatively flat overall, it is not easy to help prospective students and their parents find ways to pay for school. There it is, man.
What about doing what you do?
This is a very stressful job, but the pay, the pay sucks too. No, this is a stressful job, but it's not an essential job. So you can't say that what we do in talk radio, being an entertainer, especially doing this gig, I would say this is, of all the entertainment jobs there are, this is the hardest job.
Why?
Because we got 3 hours to do a night. It's all 3 hours of improv. You've got to be a pretty good raconteur. In other words, you have to be able to tell stories. You have to have a fairly good opinion about things. You got to be entertaining. It's, you know, don't get into it unless you really are ready to rock and roll. Now, that little girl that got her ass kicked there on American Idol, that's probably pretty stressful, too.
What, being a singer?
No, being a judge on American Idol. I don't care about the kid. All right, our show is produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Rick Johnson. Our associate producer is Dan Northcraft, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget the website, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass tomorrow night live in Los Angeles on KFI AM 640. Watch our video cast starting at 7 Pacific.
Phil Henry. Woo-hoo!